Blog Talk Radio.
There's a slight chance that Donald Trump still will become president of the United States of America. Who would have thought that would happen 10 years ago if you asked someone that question? Oh, sorry, wrong show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, a man with a lack of sleep right now and energy. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. Oh boy, what a week, huh?
What a week indeed. And Anitra B won't be here tonight because she's at the convention right now getting laid. I mean, she's at the Republican convention checking out guys. I mean, she's there to support Donald Trump, something like that.
Oh Lord.
Oh, hey, I have to make up for last week, guys, because we did not crack up any jokes up on HB. Well, ladies, before we start with the show, I'd like to thank everyone for the last 2 weeks that have listened to our shows, to the sports show, and to the Dallas show of last week. Sean Black, congratulations. Between those two shows, we had over 200 listeners.
Wow.
Over 202 shows.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's the highest ever. And I'm just more shocked that people actually listen to our sports show. It shows right there that we have a future in sports. Thank you so much.
Yes, so thank you very much, you guys, for hanging in there with us. We're still growing, even though we're almost a year and a half into this. We're still growing as a show, and we can't do this show without your support. So thank you for calling in and giving us your comments and your thoughts and everything that goes along with everything. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Okay, like Sean mentioned earlier, it has been a crazy week. So excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, my daughter has spilled milk on my notes. So I'm freestyling right now. And I'll be jumping around a little bit because, once again, I sound like a broken record over and over. I am sick and tired of these topics. But every time Sean and I come up with topics, the same thing happened over and over again. Like when Sean texted me the news about the shooting and I'm sorry, Sean, what's the location?
It's in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, thank you. I'm like, really? Again? But
yeah.
At the same time, we have to be careful by what, like I say this all the time, how the media express the news out. So before I get into that, Sean, what happened again in Baton Rouge that causes more outrage in the public?
Yeah, for those that have been living under a rock or just don't know the entire story, there were three police officers that were killed this past Sunday with three others that were wounded because of an attack by a former U.S. Marine by the name of Gavin Long, who I guess he looks at himself as some sort of activist of some sort. He served in the Marine Corps as a data network specialist for about 5 years and deployed in Iraq in 2008. Apparently he had issues with what happened in the Dallas shootings and what had happened with the whole entire violence that has been going on, and decided to take it upon himself, apparently, to go and attack cops. And he did that before he was eventually killed on his 29th birthday, no less. The problem that we seem to keep getting at on a regular basis, and we've been continuing to hear this over and over and over again, is it's the same broken record as you just stated. Now, as truth be known, both of us and Anitra also, we've talked about this ad nauseum. And we, as Hot Rod just stated earlier, we do like to try and bring up other topics and try to get a much more full show, a more filled out show, and go into other topics and talk about things that are going to help out with anything and broaden out the show. But as is the case with real life, things change. And usually what ends up happening is we have to come and talk about certain things and bring attention to it and then get the pulse of the people. And it's important of a topic as this is, it's something that we just cannot deny or let go away based on the fact that because of all of this that goes on, as emotional as we can both become as we have over this entire thing, it's something that's important that we had to bring up and that we have to talk about, and it's something that needs to be brought up to the public eye. And I know there are a lot of people that are out there that listen to the show that probably have opinions about it that want to call up and call up the show. And we don't want to basically turn this show into the let's point at the bad news thing and then just report what happens. We'd like to try as best as we can to get some kind of solutions or something along that line, or at least get the other hand, the other ideals involved, and at least try to get some kind of solutions going, if we can, because this is just getting absolutely ridiculous.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just had to catch my breath for a minute.
Oh, really? Are you okay now?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good now. Now, as far as what has happened, as far as a little more background to the shooter, without trying to give him any more airtime, like I stated before, he was a sergeant, was a data network specialist. He deployed in Iraq, served as a military corps in Okinawa, Japan, was married, divorced 2 years after marriage. The government is looking into these ties that he was part of an anti-government group that he showed support for online because he was very big into social media, as we're starting to hear. If you notice, the modus operandi of a lot of these shooters are very big into social media, getting into Facebook and Twitter and tweeting their feelings and feeling upset, uptight, and then taking the law into their own hands. He was part of a group called the Moorish Science Temple of America, which was founded in the early 1900s. And they don't recognize the U.S. government authority over the descendants of slaves. That's basically the premise behind that group. And I know he went online and preached about that, doesn't recognize being the authority, the police, and, you know, it's a police state and those kinds of things. And that's where we are right now. And as a matter of fact, he kind of changed his name online also. He was calling himself, let me get this right, Cosmo Septipenra, which I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. He had his own little web, own website and his own show that he was doing, that he was, I guess, giving his opinions about what was going on in the world. And I think that was part of what led to all of this chaos. But in the end, we have right now dead cops again. We have people that are not coming home. And we now have a bigger discussion to bring up. Now, is it the police versus the public? That's the problem.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to call in your thoughts or your questions or your comments. Please do so at 347-989-8402. And, of course, I forgot to ask you a question, Sean, before the story is, Are you ready to piss some people off?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, after that story, maybe you have to piss some people off or not, but I think there's a little bit more to the story, what happened yesterday. As always, we will never know the whole truth, or the absolute truth, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been another side of the story that the guy was there. Calvin, that's the name, I believe.
His name is Gavin Long.
Gavin Long. Gavin Long was there, shot somebody else. Someone did call 911, and police did intervene, and yes, he shot the police. But it was not an ambush, as a few eyewitnesses said. They think that the media changed the story around so it could look like it was another ambush towards the police. towards another, towards a black anger movement. But the thing, his my question was, yes, one of the cops that got killed was a black guy. In case you haven't noticed, they showed his picture first right away in the news. Like, there were two white cops and one black cop. And the cover of the Daily News and New York Post, they did not show all three cops that were killed. They showed the picture of the black man holding on to his baby. He is a new father, 32 years old. The baby a few months old. God bless his soul.
Yeah, his name is Montrell
Jackson. Will never see his father.
Exactly.
So why did they show his picture? And now the other cops, I thought all lives matter. Why? Because the media is trying to show something. Trying to show racial divide again. Racial tension between us, between cops, blacks or whites, blacks, whatever you want to call. But this is how the media is trying to portray what's going on in this world.
But I always,
what do you think
actually,
about that
we have seen that in an increasing number of stories that have happened similar to these, where we've been getting too many of these happening, and the first thing that you notice, depending on the slant of the story that they're trying to get, if it's a white shooter or a quote-unquote racist that has lost his or her mind and has gone in and trying to kill as many people as possible, the first thing that they're going to try and do is see what kind of rise they can get with the victims that are there. If there is something that they think that they can link, that will be there. As you just stated, Montrell Jackson, one of the three cops that was killed, African-American, just recently married, like you just stated. And he actually went online literally a couple of days before the shooting, and he put up a speech or sort of kind of like his own feelings on Facebook about what's going on and how he feels. He doesn't know if this, you know, the last day he'll walk out and won't come home. Those are the kinds of things that happen. Exactly. And that's the thing that you're going to focus on the most. And the reason why, and I've said this before, it's the optics involved. When the media gets a hold of a story, irregardless of if they have all of the details, when you find out who's involved and what's going on, if there's a sliver of race involved, that's going to be the number one card that's played. And the problem with that is, and that's a dangerous card to play, is the fact that now anybody who was already riled up in this situation, because we have a divide between the races in this country over the last few months that has just ballooned and gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, that is the image that you see. The African-American shooter has been vilified. He's been demonized. And the victim is definitely going to be looked at in a different light depending on whether the victim was an African-American, whether he was Asian-American, whether he was a Hispanic-American, whether he was Caucasian. And that's just the way the media has been in treating these kinds of stories. And it really shouldn't be that way, but that's what usually is the case.
Okay. I have to play devil's advocate. Let's say the guy is for real. Let's say he did ambush the police. Let's say he is frustrated and tired. Back to the original question of our topic. Back to the Dallas sniper. Was he a Martha or just a crazy person? Just like the shooter we had yesterday. If we could compare both of them together.
Yeah. I'll look at
they did got the job done by killing police, whether it was ambush or planned or just happened to happen. Officers had lost their lives on the line defending other people.
Yeah.
Regardless.
And see, here's the thing. We know, we're taught from when we were young, from when we could speak, if any danger happens, God forbid somebody breaks into your house or you get robbed or something happens, the first person you're supposed to be able to do, the first people you're supposed to contact are the police. The police are there. They're supposed to help you out. Now, as we were growing up, we would never have in the mindset of the police are going to be dangerous because that, you know, there may be out of 10 police officers, one of the police officers may be racist and may not help you. You never thought of that growing up. And when in the world we live in now, with so much racial tension, it's going to be something that is thought about now, where the obvious thought process now is if something happens, you don't know if you calling in the cops is going to exacerbate the problem. Whereas, as we've seen, people that have been driving cars or on the road get pulled over by a cop, and we've heard stories that, especially African Americans or any minority, or they're pulled over, they don't know if something's going to happen now. And that has now become the national conversation between anybody that's at home listening to this stuff, because we've had way too many of these incidents happen where now the public doesn't 100% feel safe. And now we also have the dynamic of the police officers that are sworn to protect and serve the people in the community. They don't feel safe now going into what they have to do for their jobs based on that fact. And it's all because of the things that are happening in each community. Every community has their own tension or their own racist things that happen within the community that they just can't solve, at least not initially. And that's become a problem.
Okay, well, what about the people that have been complaining for many years? Cops have been killing us, torturing us, arresting us for many years. I mean, yes, we all say there's good cops and bad cops. You know, there's only 10%. But we always focus, the media and people in general, the society focus on that 10% or 20%. Of cops that harass and killing us. Okay, isn't it about time someone take action? Because apparently, something Milton X will say, protest is not working. Cops are getting away with murder. Betty Gray, Eric Garner, the 2-year anniversary, the guy that got choked to death this week. So, if cops, black, white, Asian, whatever, are getting away killing us, getting away killing people in general, I'm trying not to use the race thing too much. And they go to court, and how many times we hear not guilty or there won't be charges? And devil's advocate, once again, somebody has to take action. I'm not condoning the killing. I don't want people to get that in mind. I don't condone killers. But I think, like I told Sean Black a couple of weeks ago, don't be surprised that people will lose their mind and start killing people in general, start killing cops. Our mutual friend, Sean, know who I'm talking about. I speak to her every day. She skipped her life, but she's a cop for about 15 years. And she told me, it's crazy. You know, now that they have to walk around in groups because they could be ambushed at any given moment because society is losing their mind. Like you say, it's us versus them. So
and,
how can we handle this situation? Can you really blame the sniper? Can you really blame the killer yesterday to a certain degree? Like, enough is enough. Someone has to take a stand now.
See, here's the thing, and this is the reason why this happens. When you go into each individual community, African-American, Hispanic-American, any minority group in this country, when you look at the African-American community being 13% of the population, when you realize that there have been, for whatever the reason is, racist or not, you have more crimes that have been happening and the importance placed on the arrests, the importance placed on breaking those up has created so much tension over the years. And the problem is that a lot of white America has never been able to understand that divide. They've never been able to get their hands and grasp either why it's happening, or maybe it's an exaggeration, maybe it's just the way it is. There's no way for them to know why it is the way it is and identify with it. So what ends up happening is in those communities, you start to see things bubble up to the surface. And what ends up happening, like with the Rodney King trial that happened, when Rodney King was hit 52 times and it was caught on video, and then go to the trial, and none of the cops were convicted. They were all able to walk free. What ended up happening? The city exploded, and you had all that violence in Los Angeles. The Freddie Gray trial that's happened, 3 out of the 6 cops have skated free. We just had a non-guilty verdict on one of the cops just earlier today. When it's perceived in the community, that in the African-American community, that your life doesn't mean as much, you start to get that frustration boiling to the top. And the people that end up paying for it are the people that just want to protect them.
So you're basically saying you do understand why people are frustrated and they're going out killing cops right now. That's what
I understand the frustration. I don't condone the violence, though. I don't condone that for a minute.
But once you agree on something, so when you hear the guy shot those cops for whatever reason, same thing as Dallas, you understand it because of frustration. But you felt the frustration yourself as a black person.
I will
That's
never.
What you're saying right now.
What I'm saying is, I understand where all of the frustration and that bubbling to the top of the surface comes from. What I do not understand is the violence that is going on. And the problem is, and this is the reason why this is happening, is because no one has come up with any real solutions. The solutions that are on tap, for the most part, don't seem to fit in the society we live in, because nobody is acknowledging anything. I said this last week. You can't correct a problem that you don't acknowledge is existing. And the reason why I say that is because if the police will, in general, will formally acknowledge that there is a race problem in general, then that can be taken to, okay, now we know that there is something here. Let's now work on that. Only thing that I have heard for the majority of at least people in certain areas within the police are that we acknowledge that there are certain things are here, but we don't know how to stop certain things, and now we're afraid to really do our job, as opposed to saying, look at all the cases that have happened with African Americans and Hispanic Americans in the country over the last, not just this past few weeks, but over the years. And then look at all the things that have happened.
Excuse me, we have another caller, so you could shut up for once. I believe there's Brother B on the air now.
Hey, what's up? What's up, y'all?
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey.
I was just listening to what Sean Black has to say. Always very informative.
Thank you.
It's interesting that I think it's the us against them, a them against us mentality. Like, I don't really think it's so much race. I think the media really amps the race thing, but I really believe that, and this is from a person who kind of experienced it firsthand when my kid's mother was in the academy and she was a cop. It's like, before she became a cop, she was baking cookies, and, she was all nice, and everything was all sweet. But then she joined me, joined MITD, and, man, she just did a 360 before the academy was over. And I'm like, what the hell are they teaching you in there? It's a us against them. Like, we're your new family now. We're your family. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's going to protect you, or nobody has your back, like us. And I think there's a lot of people that subscribe to that. I think that there's a lot of individuals that join the organizations for the camaraderie, to feel like they're a part of something, and to find some type of identity, instead of them having some type of individualism about themselves. So in other words,
you're saying they join a gang right now.
Yeah, basically, they're no different from the Bloods and the Crips, in my opinion. I mean, I think there are a lot of cops that are being overshadowed, good cops that are being overshadowed by the bad ones. I think there are cops out there that generally just want to get a job with a nice pension, do their time, and be out. I think there are cops out there, people out there who just want to join and want to help their community and help other people. but they're being shadowed. Like what they say, a couple of bad apples spoil a whole bunch. So what are you going to do? You're going to burn down the whole, you know what I'm saying, yard and start growing all new apples?
But if I keep preaching to you about that bad tree over and over, you might be angry too at that tree. And I think that's what happens to society. That's when, like, we understand the killing. We don't condone the killing. But we understand people are just frustrated in general.
I think it's frustration, and I also think, like, I mean, it's like what Sean Black said, and what you're saying. That's all you turn around and see. Like, every 6 months, maybe 8 months, white cop shoots a black man. But you never really hear about a black cop shooting a white man or except that one situation, Asian cop shooting a black dude, and that was by what? The bullet ricocheted. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like he intentionally shot him. He was just scared. But my thing is, you never hear about everybody else doing it, but you always hear about some white people doing it. And it makes you think, well, they all get the same training, so you have to look at the individual, not the job. And there's certain people who take these jobs with their own personal agendas and their own attitudes, and at the same time, they have their fears.
Now,
the badge is not for everybody.
True, and we discussed this last week. But one thing we failed to mention or talk too much about is, like Sean said, the solutions. We need solutions. We all know the problem. We know the answers to the problem. But how can we solve the problem? I mean, better community relations or, like, what we need, what's the next step? Because apparently our government ain't doing much about it.
It has nothing to do. I don't think it has anything to do with community. I think it just has something to do with the hiring practices. Like, you can't put a semi-automatic or automatic firearm in the hands of an idiot or someone ignorant. You just can't do it. Because what do you think is going to happen? It's kind of like textbook. Okay, what happened in Baton Rouge, and then what happened over in Minnesota, the next thing you know, all of a sudden in Dallas, not Minnesota, not Louisiana, but in Dallas, you have some sniper. And, of course, he's black. So, you have another sniper, and, of course, he's black. Listen, I could be wrong, but that's usually not our M.O. That's not our thing. We do other things, but the whole sniper thing, I don't see it. Listen, you've been having these anti-government groups, these white boys up in the mountains for years, practicing, waiting for their turn, waiting to get back. But nobody's mentioning them. Nobody's saying anything about them. But just because something happened to two black men, all of a sudden it has to be black people doing this. And some of it, I just find it is a crock of junk, man. I just really do. But that's my opinion.
And that's, I think, part of, as we just stated earlier, a big part of this whole thing has to come down to government on some level recognizing issues involved. Now, government isn't going to solve anything. But what I do know is that money, and you look at a lot of instances where money, especially somebody in advertising and in marketing, if it's diverted into the right areas or if it's pulled away from certain things actually happen. The other thing that can happen, and I've stated this before, is if you have a feeling that nothing is being done, and I'm talking about on a government level, you can contact the senator, you can contact Congress, and I'm going to help somebody out with that if they want to actually do that. There are two sites that I actually looked up to go on. If you are trying to contact the senator, go to senate.gov. When anybody get your pens, get your papers out, write that down. Senate.gov. The other website is contactingthecongress.org. contactingthecongress.org. That second one is a very good site from the sense that it gives you all the information you need to contact every single Congress, depending on where you, wherever you listen to our show. You go onto the site, you can put in your zip code, and it'll show you every congressman that's in the your state, your city who is represented, and it has their representative's phone number, and it also has their web page for that particular, email address. So you can contact them either directly or through their representative, and then you can try and at least get some kind of correspondence going and make something happen. Because we've talked a lot about trying to get something going, people complaining about gun laws or just wondering why Congress or the Senate, they're not doing anything. Contact them. Those two sites, Senate.gov and contactingthecongress.org. At least it's a start on some level.
I disagree with you, Sean. I think it's no level at all because this congressman and senator, they're all crooks, most of them. But in politics, you know how I feel about politics. I think it's like a waste of time. I'm like, it's good that the website is up. It's good that you could contact people. But they did not listen to us for many years before. Why do you think they're going to listen to us now? If they don't listen about gun problems, welfare problems, people problems, immigration problems, you think they're going to listen to this problem?
Well, I'm going to tell you the reason. I understand where you're coming from, but I'm going to tell you the reason why, at least now from this standpoint. And in the New York, New Jersey, tri-state area, we obviously have not had anything anywhere along the lines, God forbid, that has happened in Dallas and Minnesota. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of people, at least on that scale, although we did, was it last year, we had two cops shot and killed in their own squad car.
And that was ambushed. It was standing down here in London, so that's something similar.
Yes, very, very similar. The premise is, I'm not going to actually say, think that something is going to happen and we're going to stop all violence or whatever. That's just stupid. But my thought process is basically being part of the media, which is what we are, at least to give a modicum of steering somebody in a direction that may actually help. Even if it helps one person or two people or three people, it's better than nothing. And I look at it from this standpoint. As people are looking for answers as opposed to looking for the violence involved, if we at some point can dissuade somebody from actually picking up another gun and going after a police officer because the police are here to protect us, I do not believe, with all of the police officers that are around, and there's 300 million people on this planet, in this country, I should say, that 99% of them are doing their job and are great at it. It's that small 1% that's making the rest of the 99% uneasy and making their lives dangerous and making their jobs harder than it should be. If this can help somebody...
Okay, but you talk about 99% crooked pockets compared to the 1% that's actually doing their job. The ratio doesn't match.
Well, yeah,
if you look at the job of a police officer, they're technically like government officials. They're not, I agree, but then again, I somewhat disagree. Their first priority is to uphold the law. And if they have to protect someone in the midst of upholding the law, then so be it. But their first objective is to uphold the law, not us. Because if one, you know what I'm saying, if we just happen to mingle in somewhere, it's like you own a restaurant. You just opened up your restaurant, and I come into your restaurant and say, hey, Hot Rod, how you doing? Like, listen, my name is such and such. People know me in this area. You know, it's kind of crazy in this area, so you might need some protection. So I'm here to offer my services for a little fee every week. And then you look at me like I'm crazy and say, hell no, get out of here. So So what do you think is the next thing that happens? I leave. A couple of days later, something comes crashing through your window. Your place gets burglarized. You know, a couple of events happen. And then I come back around again 3 weeks later and say, hey, how's business? And then all of a sudden your mind has changed. I think I need some help. I think I need somebody, you know, to watch my back on it. See, I can sell you, you know what I'm saying? But I can buy you by forcing you. And that's just what it is. It's like I'll draw you into this false sense of security, even though I'm the crook at the door. I'm going to make you believe that I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to take care for you, this for you, of you. But it's going to cost you.
Okay, good point.
The exchange.
What's the next? You're on the air now. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Alright, hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm just enjoying
you
guys.
Sorry, man.
No, listen, that's crazy. I was listening to what you guys were saying. People just have a different take on what, you know, the men and women of the blue. What's their real job, what's their purpose. I mean, again, they're also community leaders themselves. Because they show professionalism. That's supposed to be their mind, that's supposed to be their idea. They're supposed to show professionalism, these first responders, leaders, upholding the law. As far as assisting and rescuing, there's different types. They have to rescue people, they assist, they guidance. All types, get guidance counselors, they got different roles. The first mindset should be just upholding the law because certain civilians, you know the law better than the cops. So there's good cops that just do more than just uphold the law. They assist, they guide, they rescue. Those are the real good ones. The ones that uphold the law, they take a little further.
I'll definitely agree with
hello?
That.
Yes, hello.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You sound far a little bit.
I'm sorry about that, but I hope what I said was loud and clear, because it's scary when you say they uphold the law, because certain guys and women, they take it a little too far. But when it comes to rescue and to assist and become community leaders and community and be involved in the community, they're awesome. They're great. You see
what
I
said? I never said that there aren't people that are out there to get the job of a police officer and do the right thing for their community, or to go out there and just want to get a job, good pension, something they can retire on. But the main thing, like I said, I've never had any bad run-ins with cops. I've had more good run-ins than bad. And if they weren't, the bad ones weren't, you know, it was just some simple stuff where I guess they just wanted to get under the skin. But the thing is this, is I know some cops, very good individuals, but it doesn't exclude the fact that, listen, everybody has to say something. You can't be silent. You can't sit there, I mean, I'll be honest with you, this is one of the reasons why I didn't become a cop. I was supposed to take the test years ago. And then I walked right off the line because I didn't want to be responsible for the individual that I was working with, knowing that he or she might have been crooked. And number two, I to a degree, I believe in excessive force because my attitude is, man, I remember years ago there was a story about some dude ran up in an elevator with two kids and stabbed one of them. Listen, dog, I ain't going to make no bones about it. If I was the cop that caught you, it was going to be a long day for you. It's going to be a very long day. You can't, like, everybody's human first. So they have emotions. Everybody has feelings. And everybody has their own opinions. You have some officers that have, their whole attitude is, I'm the judge, the jury, and the executioner. But then you have some that are just like, man, we'll let 12 people decide your fate. Like I said, we're human. But once again, it comes down to the hiring practices. When you put a certain amount of power and a firearm in the hand of an ignorant individual, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get problems. You're going to have problems. So I don't think, I really don't think it has anything to do with the whole issue of police itself. We need to stop looking at the overall badge and look at the people that they are hiring, the people that they are letting slip through the cracks. That's where the problem is. Nobody really wants to address it.
Well, okay, brother, you talk about the system. What about the system itself? About all these cops that keep getting away, killing people all the time, like the Freddie Gray case, Eric Garner case. We all frustrated about that. These cops depend on one another to a certain degree.
Of course, but listen, first of all, if you're in a gang, this is you. Of course you're going to defend, you're going to defend your members to the utmost degree. That's number one. But two, remember the laws. The laws weren't made for certain individuals in mind, especially us. Listen, you got to understand something. It's a double-edged sword. Just like you see that statue with the scales of justice. She's blind, but she has the scales in her hand. It is what it is, man, because all it takes is for a cop to equate the fact that he had some type of fear or he had to do this and that. Listen, they have the power to shoot and kill people. That's just what it is. And if we don't conduct ourselves in a certain manner, things are going to happen.
Okay, so Sean Black, is it true do you believe the laws was not meant for us, was meant for the white people? Basically, the Second Commandment, the right to bear arms, was that made for the white people to defend themselves against a black man back then in 1800 or 1700, whatever the year was?
Well, that was never made for any race or any creed of that matter. The whole premise behind the Second Amendment
was... Are you sure about that? You were not born back then.
Here's the issue. The Second Amendment is an interpretation based on something that happened back in the 1800 when it was put into law, basically stating that anybody that had guns, the government couldn't take them away from you if there was some sort of a takeover or a coup or something along those lines. That is the premise behind the Second Amendment. It's only recently that within the last 30 or 40 or 50 years that the interpretation has changed into the way it is now. I think what we're hearing now more so are the people that are either gun nuts or people that are lobbyists that sympathize with the NRA and their agenda are taking that Second Amendment and they're trying to flip it in their own cause, of their own reasoning, to make sure that it looks good for their own purposes. That's the problem that we have. And anytime something happens where we hear of a child being shot or a Hispanic kid who was playing in the park and he got gunned down for no reason, or you hear about all of the cops that are being killed or whatever the case, you almost never hear we have to make sure that these guns are, one, taken away from the people that can do the harm, or two, at least use the laws that are already in existence and just use those to govern over what we can do to make sure that all of these things are taken care of. We don't hear any of that stuff. The first thing that pops out of anybody's mouth is, well, this is just another reason for the government to take our guns away. And if that's the first thing that pops into your mind after you hear about a 9-year-old being killed, or you hear about a cop being shot and killed, or you hear about somebody who was 17, 18, 19 was murdered for no apparent reason because of guns on the street, then your mind is in the wrong area and your energy is being used in the wrong place. That's the problem, fundamental problem that we have.
Okay, I got this no connect this class now. No connect?
Yeah. Good evening.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, nothing. Now, I heard what Sean was saying earlier about calling politicians and stuff like that. And in theory, that could work if we pull our money together as a black community and use that money to buy politicians. That's why I know a lot of things been in the news lately. One thing that hasn't been in the news is the upswell of black people opening up accounts in black-owned banks. Black-owned banks in Atlanta, spending money in Houston, and even all over the country. a lot of black people are opening up new accounts in black-owned banks now. So hopefully that will be a start to us building an economic base. Because, to be honest, you know, we're hated because we're black, but we're getting killed because we're poor as a group because we're economically weak, you know what I'm saying? They can hate the Asians all they want to, but they ain't killing them because the Asian community got businesses and money together. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with the gay community, same thing with the Jews. They got their money right. You know what I'm saying? As far as the killings that have been going on this weekend, like I said before, I continue to say it again, it's the chickens coming home to roost. Basically, especially in these states where you got all these, you know, open carry laws and Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. Ain't nothing to have a gun. Then, add on to that, you got here, in these two cases, quote unquote, a black militant guy, you know, who's in the military, so you train him to be a killer for y'all. You train him how to shoot. You train him, you know, to say, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice my life so I can take out the enemy. I trained him that way. So now he done came back, probably, you know, with post-traumatic stress syndrome. A lot of military people have that. Then you add on top of being stressed being black in America, boom, you snap, start killing folks. And who
so,
made that?
So nothing has been mad. So nothing has been mad. Y'all got condoned the killing so far? Or do you understand
what was
the killing? Do you understand
hey,
the
listen.
Killing? Do you understand everything that's going on?
Yeah, I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand it. Because you can't kill out here, kill people with no without impunity, with no consequences. They don't even they go to trial and they get off, or they even go to trial. 2 years ago, Sunday, Eric Garner got choked out on live and high definition. Ain't nothing happened. And this is case after case after case. Year after year after year. And you think nothing's going to happen?
Okay,
Matt. It is what it is. But the messed up part is that's what they want to happen.
I'm going to make it real quick. All right. Number one, earlier what Sean just said about the Second Amendment, if you look back in history, it started really changing. And the minute they saw black militants in the Black Panther movement started open arms in the late 60s, that's when the government went out. They were enraged and started changing the gun law. The minute they saw black people walking around, that's when they started changing. It was not for crime use, but the fact that the blacks knew their rights and started walking around, which they had the right to carry, they started changing the law. They started doing that. They didn't want to see blacks allowed carrying firearms. And they was not doing any crime. They were protecting their own neighborhood, but they didn't want to see blacks with firearms. Number two, what I was really saying earlier, I'll try to show a different point of law enforcement as far as the certain men and women that don't think of themselves as just cops. They think of themselves as rescuers and first responders. Mm-hmm. Now, with all the shootings that's going around now, with all that chaos, it's frustration from poor black people that's not getting their voice heard. And you have a head of the state, the man in charge, who's a black man, who has yet to acknowledge that he is a black man and that he feels bad for his black people and is not doing anything to help his black people. And it built that frustration to a point where he signed deals for all these other people and different
So who is this black man, Max?
Obama.
Obama ain't black.
He's black. By fact, just by fact.
He's been on my damn Oreo.
But that said, I want to name for him, but he's the man that is not doing and honoring his role for his blacks.
Okay, Brother B?
Of course.
I heard Milton X say, that we're hated because of our color. I agree, and to go take it one up, it's not just color, it's just we're hated because we won't allow ourselves to be defeated, because we're not going anywhere, because we won't comply with certain things, because we refuse to go back into the type of slavery that they really want us to go back to. like they're just mad because they do not have control over the black situation like they really would like to. And
That's correct. And also, they're scared because they don't want us to take over like
exactly.
our Moorish brothers did back in the days in Europe. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? They don't want that to happen again.
They don't want that. They don't want the Black Wall Street. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole black bank thing sounds nice, but there's always somebody white on top of the pyramid that's controlling the situation. And I'm going to be honest with you, brother. My fear is all these black people putting all their money in who they believe are black-owned banks, and the next thing the white man turn around and be like, oh, thank you. Because the FDIC is run by who?
You know?
You know,
we have to create our own structure, though. In the end, the white man still controls the money, no matter any way you look at it. We have to control our own money.
That's what the Jews do. They control their own money. The Asians control their own money.
It could be done.
Brother,
if
we got into a position to control our own money, somebody's going to push that panic button. They're going to push that panic button, bro.
Well, let them push whatever button they want to push. They're going to do that anyway.
But this is true.
We don't need their permission. We're not ready for that.
We're not ready for that.
Actually, I think you're wrong, because a lot of us that are, those that are will and those that won't, don't. Listen, all of us ain't going to
win. No.
So,
no,
it is what it is.
I think you're right. A lot of people do know, but I'm sorry, a very few people know. A lot of people don't know. That's why we're in a situation right now.
Well, what I'm saying, but this is the point.
A few
people are learning. People are awakening more than they were 5-10 years ago. And the numbers are getting bigger.
A shift in consciousness. I believe there's a shift in consciousness, but you know what I'm saying? But then you turn around and have like some Pokemon craze thrown out there, and everybody starts to distract.
Let's talk about the Pokemon craze. What the hell is this Pokemon craze about?
Why are people going crazy over Pokemon?
Yeah. Listen, I wish I invented the damn game myself. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Let me invent something so people go crazy over. that's what I'm thinking. Okay. Let me invent some type of app that people can speak over.
Yeah.
We all know software that game 24/7.
I refuse to download it because, first and foremost, I'm not going to walk around and get hit by a car or a bus or anything like that. And two, from what I've read, it kills your battery. So forget about that.
But to be honest, personally, there's too much real shit that are going on out here. I'm concerned about some Pokemon shit.
But there's also too much
real shit that Halo knows to do. I don't care either way, because there's too much important shit going on.
That's right.
But the thing is, the sad part is it just shows how some of us can be easily distracted.
They gonna get enough fine then. Listen, I ain't trying to save everybody. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, somebody's gonna have to get enough fine, that's all.
It's going to have to be collateral damage, right?
Pretty much. And it's going to have to be broken.
Brother B.
Yes, sir.
Brother B, you have a great show coming up this Wednesday night, or Wednesday night, I'm assuming, the menu. You have a great topic. What is your topic for Wednesday? Because I'd like to hear about it.
Oh, why do some people choose to stay in abusive relationships?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm. Lack of self-esteem. Boom.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, but trust me, my co-host, you know I'm going to catch fire, because my co-host are three women, and they already feel that I have some type of attitude towards women, and I don't have an attitude towards women. It's just that, listen, there's a lot of enablers out there enabling a lot of BS that these newfangled brothers are doing out here. And it needs to stop.
It's called simping. That's what it's called.
It's called simping and tricks.
Captain Paul Simpson, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Trick,
and
man.
Captain Silver Holes, that's what it's called.
Yo, right,
you know what
me and Milton, I talked about that 2 years ago,
all the,
man.
All the time.
Send those
Listen.
Simps out of here, bro. Send them Simps out.
This is what it is. Women go for these bitch dudes and then complain about them because women don't want to get told no.
But Milton, who's raising the Simps? Who's raising the Simps?
Exactly. The mother, the most of it.
That's exactly. The mother tells
if you want
son,
to be honest about it,
son, what to say to the woman?
You know, the strong independent woman out there raising the simps, so.
Program.
But see, I try to tell them
white supremacy
and they
don't
listen.
Want an alpha male in the home.
That's
really,
right.
Of course.
So Omega
of course,
is out.
Amen. Yep. They don't want that.
That is.
You're absolutely right.
It was all systematic. Yeah, that sounds like such a complicated thing when it really shouldn't be as complicated as it is.
But Sean, there's a book out there you can read. It's from Shaza Ali, and she talks about it. And last year, I brought it to your show last year. It's all it started with the feminist group. The women feminist groups brought that in there to the black neighborhood to eliminate the black men. It was
exactly.
all programmed, systematic. I was trying to tell you guys about that.
Women, you cut off the head. See where you started now. I wish you guys would call in on Wednesday because yo, they be giving me a hard way to go. It's 3-on-1,
and they really believe
that they are not. Some of them will not take responsibility. For their own actions. Like
and that's the problem.
Yeah. It's all about accountability.
But remember,
ideology
of the man, who's the mindset of the man today?
But that's the thing. A lot, it's been diluted. It's been diluted. So it's like my first question to them is, what is your definition of a man? Like, I remember, you know
Ooh.
What I'm saying? Me growing up, the man was strong. He was the leader. He provided for the family. He was protecting. He was all of this. Nowadays, they just dudes is walking around with their pants hanging off their ass on some metrosexual crap.
No female today can answer that question.
John, Rodney,
no
I'm saying
female.
Right now, the missing link is obedience, and people think it's a negative thing. Obedience is not a negative thing. It's an honorable thing.
Or submission.
Wait a minute.
You know what?
Being that you said that, what is that line that they say in when they're doing vows? And the wedding nowadays,
honor and obey.
I've been at least 3 weddings in the past 3 years, and all the women just kind of turned up their noses as soon as the pastor said and obey. And I was like,
they get
sacked.
They get sacked.
Here's the funnier part: is the last 2 weddings that I went to, I didn't even hear the word that part in the vows at all.
Oh, it was omitted.
It's been omitted completely. I don't even think people still use that anymore.
It's love, R, and B.
Exactly. All right. Because, yo, I was at one wedding, and she put up a screw face. Straight up.
Well, Brother B, Milton X, and Matt, thank you for the great show. We're about to turn it off right now. But the end is here. And we got to continue this conversation again soon. But, guys, from me. And from Sean, thank you so much for your input and being positive for one another no matter what.
Yes.
Thank you.
Of course. The pleasure was all yours.
The pleasure was all yours indeed. Okay. And on that point, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in for another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Block Talk Radio. Another crazy edition. I'm your host with the most, the King of Kings himself, the High Rod, with the one, the only.
It is Sean Black. And the, I guess you can say Anitra B will be back next week?
No, she'll be back in 10 months after she gets pregnant after she finds a guy downstairs and at the convention area. But
10 months? What is she, an elephant? Well, where did you 10 months from?
No, she get pregnant for 9 months, then she take the baby out, and you know she needs to rest, right?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, never mind. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you. Spread the word out. Be positive, be strong. Jesus love you. And as always, the pleasure was all
yours.
Wait a minute. You think she's having multiple orgies right now with multiple men? And do you think Donald Trump is watching?
Oh Lord.
What?
I need to call my alderman.
All right, later.
Later.